Here we start the Mishnah on the top of Samach Zayin Hamad Aleph. The Mishnah says, "Hamesit zehejot, v'mesit etahejot." So the Mishnah is indicating that when we're talking about someone who's convincing another individual to worship Avodah Zarah, first of all, the one who's doing the convincing, the mesit, the one who causes others to violate the Avodah Zarah, is a hejot. He himself is a hejot. V'hamesit, and the one that is being convinced, is also a hejot. We'll see in the Gemara what that comes to. Why does it specify that it has to be a lay person? Both the convincer and the convincee have to be lay people. The convincer to exclude a navi, and the convincee to exclude a rabbim. In that, if you convince a rabbim to do it, then it has a different status. And again, if it's a navi that does it, maybe there's a different status. We'll see that in the Gemara. Hamar. He said, "Yesh yirab makom ploni." There's some sort of idol in this location. Kach ochelet. This is this is what it likes to eat. Kach shote. This is what it likes to drink. Kach metiva. This is how they take care of it. Kach meria. This is how it sounds. Kol chayvei mitot shebetorah ein machminim aleihem. When it comes to any other death penalty or a capital crime in the Torah, we do not hide edim, or we do not entrap the individual. Chutz mizu, except for this case. This case of mesit. Amar l'shnayim, he said to two individuals, then hei nedav, they become the edim themselves. They themselves become the the edim. If he spoke to these two individuals, or someone who is being spoken to says, "You two, be the edim," then they become the edim, and you don't need hatra'ah. That's the other requirement by mesit. Not only can you entrap or you can set them up, you can also don't require any hatra, it doesn't require any warning. So therefore, they have these edim, umevino to the beitin, v'soklin oto. They can bring him to Beis Din, and he'll be put to death by skila. Amar le'echad, he said to one, an individual, who omer, he should say, yeshli chaverim, I have others who want to join. Meaning that if it's just one individual, then you can't bring him to a death penalty, you don't have edut. So what he says is, listen, I got some friends, maybe you want to tell them the same story. They also want to do this. If he's naked, and he can't speak in front of them, so that doesn't mean he's literally naked, but he's afraid of speaking out in public. He only speaks to an individual, he will not speak to a plurality of people. Then what we do is, lo edim, we hide for him, or we ambush him with edim. Achrei al geder, behind the fence. And this individual says to him, tell me what you said to me before, when we were in private. And he says to him, and the one who's trying, or the convincee, the one he's trying to convince, says to him, how can we leave a Kodesh Baruch Hu? I'm going to go worship stones and rocks, and trees and rocks. If he retracts or reneges on what he's saying, then we're fine. That's our obligation. We got to leave. That's good for us. Those that were the hidden edim, bring him to Beis Din and they can put him to death. They can give him the punishment of skila. Haomer, avod, someone who says, let us go worship. Elech ve'avod. I will go and worship. Nelech v'navod. This is in the plural. We will. Let us go and worship. Ezbach. Right? I will sacrifice. Elech v'ezbach. Right? So we will. I will go and sacrifice. Nelech v'nizbach. Right? So, or we will go and sacrifice. Aktir. Right? I will be maktir. The Torah. Elech v'aktir. I will go and be maktir. Nelech v'nir. Let us go and be maktir. Enasech, I will pour libation. Elech v'enasech, let us go and pour libation. Nelech v'enasech, let us go and be menasech. Eshtachaveh, I will bow down to it. Elech v'eshtaveh, I will go and bow down to it. Nelech, we let us go v'enishtachaveh and bow down to it. So these are actually the four universal avodot that we learned before, that if you do them to any avodah zarah, that you are chayav. I mean, even at shalok edarka, no matter what, these are chayavim, because these are like the universal avodot, which we saw before, which is, right, mizabeach, mekater, and menasech, and ishtachavaya. Those are the four avodot that are universal. Therefore, in all these cases, you're going to be chayav. Now, the Gemara dissects these first two words in the Mishnah, which is the idea that it's a hejot. Both the convincer, or the seductor, and the seductee, are hedyotot. What does that mean? So I may see ze hedyot. The fact that the one who is causing the others to, or this individual to worship Ezra as a hedyot, what does that come to exclude? Time of the hedyot. That's his hedyot. That's why he gets skila. Hanavi. If he was a false prophet, and a false prophet that was trying to convince others to worship Ezra, then he's bechenek. Because then we have a separate parsha for the Navi Sheker. So if he's a Navi Sheker, he gets chenek. If he's a mesit, he gets, excuse me, he gets skila. Vemesit et a hedyot. And he has to, again, convince an individual, the seducti or the convincee has to be that, has to be a lay person. Time of the yachid. He has to be an individual. That's why it says hedyot. Harabim, if it was a large number of people, it was a plurality of people, then they would get chenek, which is the punishment for irani dachat. Irani dachat gets a punishment of chenek, whereas the individual gets a punishment of skila. So matnitan mani. Who's the author of our Mishnah? So Rabbi Shimon, it must be Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya, we have a braisa. Navi sheidiach biskila. Navi that causes others to go off the path, go off the derech Hashem, he gets skila. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Bechenek. Rabbi Shimon says Bechenek, which will match up with the first line in the Mishnah. First line of Mishnah says, only when a hedyot does the convincing, are you chayav skila. But if it's a Navi, you get Chenek. That's Rabbi Shimon. Medicha, this is what we saw earlier. We said this earlier in the Gemara. Medicha, or earlier in the Masechta. Medicha yirani dachat biskila. Someone who convinces a city, or takes a rabbim, and convinces them to worship Avodah Zarah, they get skila. Even though the city itself, the individual that were convinced will get chene, will get saif, right? These individuals who are the medicha, in medicha yirani dachat, they will get skila. Rabbi Shimon Omer, bechenek. Again, Rabbi Shimon says bechenek. Now, if the Rabbanon are the authors of the Mishnah, then they think both a Navi Sheker who convinced someone to worship Ezra, as well as a Rabbim, if you convince a Rabbim to worship Ezra, they think they're all with Skila. So there's nothing to exclude from the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, there's two cases where if you convince other individuals to worship Ezra, you will not get the punishment of Skila. Those two cases are Navi Sheker, and if you convince a Rabbim to do Avodah Zarah, to worship Avodah Zarah, then you only get Chenek. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon's the author of the Mishnah by the fact that the Mishnah goes out its way to say Hedyot, Hedyot, one comes to exclude Navi Sheker, and one comes to exclude the Rabbim. So Ema Seifa, now what are you going to do with the Sefer of a Mishnah? How Meidiach, well who's the case of the Meidiach? Is Zeh Omer Nelech V'Navod Avodot Kachovim. Wait a minute, so you have in the Sefer of the Mishnah, the Sefer of the Mishnah lays out an individual who's convincing others that he's going to go and worship at a Zeras. He says, let us go and worship Avodah Zarah. That means that he's, let us is the plural. That means that he's convincing a plural of individuals to go and worship Avodah Zarah. Nelech v'na'avod. And yet, what does the Mishnah claim his punishment is? Skila. Who's that according to? That's according to the Rabbanan. We're talking about a case of individuals who are convincing, right, a Rabbim and Yirani Dachat to worship Avodah Zarah. That's Atan the Rabbanan. That goes according to Rabbanan. Reisha Rabbi Shimon, v'sefer Rabbanan. Now you have a case where the Mishnah, the author of the Mishnah and the Reisha is Rabbi Shimon, and the author in the Seifa is the Rabbanon. So how do you have that? So Ravina says, no, Kula Rabbanon hi. The whole Mishnah is really authored by the Rabbanan. Now Rashi reads the two statements, it's going to be a statement by Ravina and Rav Papa. Rashi reads them as being reconciling opinions, that they are not arguing necessarily, but explaining different aspects of the problem. Tosus thinks that they argue. We'll read it like Rashi. Because Rabbi Amar Kula Rabbanan, we have two problems in the Mishnah for the Rabbanan. One is the fact that it says that a hedyot is the one who does the convincing. The second problem is that we have the people that were convinced were hedyotot. Each one of those presented a problem, or a hedyot was an individual. Both of those presented a problem for the Rabbanan. So the first solution to why does it say yachid in the Reisha, even though a rabbin would also get skila, right? So that Rabbi Amar Kula Rabbanan v'lo zu avzuktani. So Ravina comes to explain to us, why did it say a mesita to hedyot, that you went to, that you convinced an individual, and not a rabbim? Because even a rabbim, you'd get skila if you were mesita to rabbim. So that's lozu avzuk. The Reisha talks about a case of an individual. But not only by an individual do you get mita, but even by a rabbim, and that's the safer, the Mishnah Nelech v'Na'avod. So that's the explanation of the hedyot, the fact that it was an individual that was convinced. Now along comes Rapapa, Marki, Ktani mesit ze hedyot tohachmana. So now, when it says that the Mesit himself is a hedyot, that he can't be, which we learned from that the Mesit himself is a layperson, means that he can't be a Navi. So Rav Papa says about that. No, Ad is not a hedyot versus a Navi. He says hedyot because we treat him in a different way than we treat any other sinner. Any other sinner, we would have to warn him. We'd have to bring the Edim in front of him. Over here, he's a Jot the Chachmana. This person is a fool in the sense, or he's a lay person in the sense that we will entrap him. We will put Edim or plant Edim to hear what he has to say. So that's what it means. He's a Jot, not a Jot in the sense that he's right a not a Navi Sheker, but a Jot in the sense that he's basically given freed himself to be taken advantage of by the Edim or by the Beis Din. So that's Rashi reads them as the reconciling opinions. Excuse me, to deal with both problems in the Mishnah that made us think it was Rabbi Shimon. Tosu says no, he disagrees. He says in Zushita Tashas, Gemara never does such a thing. The Gemara never reads a Gemara in this way. We have two opinions, and we say that they're reconciled opinions. Usually, when you have two opinions, each one is expressing an independent opinion, and therefore Tosu over here says that Rabbi Tenu Tamifarish to Ravina Mishani Kula Masnisan. The Hamesit Zehejot, that explained the entire Mishnah, that Mesit means Hejot, the Mashma Hejot, Velo Navi, Nami Zu Avzuk Tani. It's a Lo Zu Avzuk Tani. Not only is a Hejot Chayev Skila, also a Navi Sheker is Chayev Skila. Not only is an individual Chayev Skila, also a Rabim is Chayev Skila. Along comes Rav Papa and says, I don't see that. I don't see that written in the Mishnah. And therefore Rav Papa comes along and says, no. That makes sense, and the Mesit is called the Hejot. The Mesit is called the Hejot because he's not a Navi, but rather because the Mesit is open to Hachmana, to being entrapped. Okay, so the Tosfos reads it as two separate opinions. Rashi reads them as reconciling opinions. The Tanya, we have a Braita, and this proves that you're allowed to entrap him. V'shar kol chayevi mitoch betorah ein machminim aleihem. No other of the capital crimes in the Torah are you allowed to hide edim. Chutz mizu. The exceptional case is this. Ketzer osimlo, what do? Makidlikin lo etaner babayit hapnimi. You light a candle in the inner house. Oshivlo edim babayit hachiton. You put the edim on the outer house. What happens when you have a window? They have light on the inside, it's dark on the outside. The people on the inside are visible. The people on the outside are not visible. You create a mirror, basically. Today, shehei, hein ro'in oto. The people on the outside can see him because the candle is by him, the light's by him. Vishom imet kolo, and they can hear his voice. Vahu ein ro'in otan. And he can't see them because they're on the darker side, right, where you can't see out past them. V'la omer lo, and the individual was in there inside with him, says, Amor masha martali biyichud. Tell me again what you said to me when we were in private. V'la omer lo. He tells him. V'la omer, heyach naniach et elokeinu shabash shamayim. How can we leave the God in heavens, but not vod avodat kochavim and worship avodah zarah? If he retracts, reneges, mutav. If he says, this is our obligation, and this is the right thing to do, or this is good for us, the edim on the outside, they bring him to Beit Din, so klimato, and give him the death penalty, or the capital, it's a capital crime, and therefore he will be put to death by skila, because they don't have to give him hatra, they don't have to give any warning. They can just take him in, and bring him to Beis Din and have him be sentenced and executed. Now this is the end of the Gemara and our Gemaras. That's because the Gemaras were censored and the Gemara actually continues. There are some forms of newer Gemaras and some of the Ketav Yad. It's Ketav Yad Venezia that actually has the original Gemara. So this Gemara actually continues over here. I'll read it to you. It says, V'chein asu leben sadda b'lud. They did this similarly to ben sadda in Lud, v'talu be'erev Pesach. And they hung him on Erev Pesach. Right, so they're obviously referring to Oto Aish, and that's why he got censored out. Right, so this is a similar type of thing. He was somehow, it connects to the previous Gemara in the sense that he was put to death for trying to convince others to leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know if they're Machminim Eidim, whatever the situation is. Ben Stato, his name is, he was the son of Sada, Ben Padirahu. He's not the son of Sada, he's Ben Padira. Right, so Amar Rav Chisto says, Baal Sata. No, the husband of his mother was Sata. Boel Pandira. On the other hand, the birth came about through a illicit relationship. So there was an extramarital affair, and the Boel, the one who perpetrated the extramarital affair with his mother, was Pandira. The Gemara goes, that doesn't make sense, because the Baal, the husband, was really Pappas ben Yehuda. It's Pappas ben Yehuda. Okay, Pappas ben Yehuda is found in the Gemara. And the wife of Pappas ben Yehuda was actually had an extramarital affair. And the Gemara tells us in other places who was the mother, who was the wife of Pappas ben Yehuda, which the mother's going to say in a second now. We're going to see. So he says, Ella, okay, can't be that it's his name is Ben Sata or Ben Sadir. Ella, Ima Imo Sata. His mother is Sata. So Gemara says, no, Miriam Magdala, right? Yeah. When it's, right? It was Siavai. His mother, or Pappas Ben Yehuda, was married to Mary Magdalene. That was the wife of Pappas Ben Yehuda, which is found in Rashi in other places. It's interesting here, but in the censor wiped it out. He wiped out Rashi. There was a commentary of Rashi on this part. And it says, Miriam Magdala, Siavai, ki de amrei bipupadito. That's what they say in Pupadita. So why was it called? Why was it called Ben Sada? So they say in Pupadita, Stat Do Mi Balo. That's what it means. It's an expression for that this is a woman who, you know, from the word Sota, right, betrayed or left her husband. I mean that it was born out of a illicit relation. I mean that Mary Magdalene had a illicit relationship away from her husband, Pappas Ben Yehuda, who gave birth to this Ben Sada Balud, who was hung on Erev Pesach for trying to convince others to worship Avodah Zarah. Right? This was taken out by the censor. There are a number of Gemaras in Sanhedrin. This isn't the first. There are several of them that were taken out by the censor. I would just tell you that they read, interestingly, they don't, just a feel, I'm not telling you, they don't read similar to the Bavli. The Lashon here, or the flow of the Gemara, is not similar to the Bavli. The truth is that could be for one of two reasons. It could be because they were added later. It's clear. It seems to be that Rashi already had this, because there was a commentary of Rashi that was also censored out. But they could have been added later because a lot of them were reflections against the church rather than the individual. And the Gemara itself, when it takes issues with Christianity, usually does not take issues with the Jesus or the founder in the sense of Christianity, because most of the Mamarim or the people who are writing, or the Gemara that's written, are several hundred years later. There are issues with the church and the churches when the church becomes a powerful authority, right? When Constantine converts the Roman Empire to the Holy Roman Empire, and they convert to Christianity, and then they have the meeting of the church. I forget what it's called in like the 300, and so 300, 400, they have a meeting of the church. Then already the Jews are persecuted heavily by the church. Gemara is usually reflecting. So two possibilities is that it was either added later. The other possibility was it was not heavily redacted. The other Gemara is the Bavli that's around gets redacted, and therefore reads much clearer. If you go back to Yerushalmi, go to a Gemara Nazir. Those Gemarot were not redacted as well. Therefore, they're missing a lot of transition words. They're missing a lot of just flow, easier flow of the Gemara. And it might be that here, once this got centered out, it lost some of that, you know, redaction, so that it doesn't read as clearly or as easily. So I can't tell you which of the two it is, but it, at least it was taken out by the censors, clearly taken out by the censors here, and you can find it in the Ktav Yad Venetzi. I just wanted to read it for you. All right, next Mishnah. Amidiach. What's Amidiach? Ze omer nelech v'navod avodat kochavim. So an individual says, let us go and worship Avodah Kochavim. So this is what we quoted before. It's got to be the Rabbanan. Someone who performs this sort of witchcraft sorcery, right, and does it through an action. They actually do something physical, then they're chayav. But somebody's an illusionist, you know, that he does illusions, that is not chayav mita. Might be a sur, but it's not chayav mita. You have two people or individuals who are collecting or harvesting gourds. Right? He brings them in. Echad okeit and patur. One of them collects the gourds and is patur. Ve'echad okeit, and the other one collects them. And chayav, he'll be chayav. Oseh ma'aseh, the one who takes actual action, chayav. I mean, that if he actually collected the zucchini or gourd, whatever it is that is the vegetation there, and it's physically now picked, then he's chayav. If he does, looks like an illusion that he's picked it, but when you go back there in the end, it's still there, then he is patur. In that case, you are patur. So this is what we quoted in the previous Gemara, that Amar Yud Amar Rav was talking about a midiche ir anidachat. So that's why it's got to be the Rabbanan, who say you get skila for convincing a rabbim to worship Avodah Zarah. Hamechashef, zeo se maseh, tan Rabbanan, mechashefa. In the Torah it says, mechashefa, which is in the female formulation. Echad ha'ish, ve'echad ha'isha. Doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman. Imkei matam lomer mechashefa. So why does the Torah use the term mechashefa if it doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman? Mipnei sh'rov nashim mitzuyot bechashefim. Now, I don't know if that means the majority of women are found in this witchcraft or sorcery, or majority of sorcerers and witchcraft are women. But either way, the women have an affinity for this type of behavior of this witchcraft or sorcery. Mitatan bima, what is their death penalty? So now we're going to go through what the death penalty is for mechashefa. But the question is, how does the Gemara know that it's talking about an ish or isha, and it uses the term mechashefa? So Rashi claims over here that we also have the Ov and the Idoni. Ov and Idoni are derivatives or subsets of Mechashefa. And over there it says Ish o Isha. There it says it doesn't matter whether it's a male or female. So by the fact that the Torah was Megale to us by Ov and Idoni, that's a subset, that it doesn't matter whether it's a male or a female, that's true of all Mechashefot. So then that's why the Gemara's question is, why does it say Mechashefa? Why does it do it in the female formulation? And the answer is because it's revealing to us that they are the ones that are found there most often. So now, what is the death penalty for a Mechashefa? Rabbi Yosef Gli Omer, Nemar Kan Mechashefa Lo Techayeh. Nemar Lahalan, and it says further on, Lo Techayeh Kol Neshama. So by the parshat of Mishpatim, it says that you're not allowed to let a Mechashefa to live. Also, it says in Devarim about the Shiva Amamim, talking about the seven nations, Lo Techayeh Kol Neshama. When you come and conquer them, you cannot leave anybody over. There can be no one living afterwards. So Mala Halan Besaif, just like when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you have to kill out the seven nations, you do it by the sword, Afkan Besaif. So too, the punishment for a Mechashefa will be by the sword, by Saif. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Nemar Kan Mechashefa Lo Techayeh. B'Nemar Lahalan, it says by Har Sinai, Im Behema, Im Ish Lo Yechyeh. Right, so over there it says that any animal or individual who goes on to Har Sinai will be killed. Over there it says, Yo Yo Yireh, right? So that they will be like shot at, and they will be stoned on Har Sinai. I mean, it'll happen automatically. When they go on the Har, they'll be hit by stones. So just like over there, Mala Halan Skila by the Har Sinai, it's Skila Afkan B'Skila, so to over here. When we're doing Mechashefa, it'll also be punishable by Skila. Amala Rabbi Yossi. Ani Dante Lo Techayeh Melo Techayeh. Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Akiva, at least I used the same word. I used the word Lo Mechashefa Lo Techayeh, and I said Lo Techayeh Kol Neshama. So at least my Hekesh or my Gzeresh Shava makes sense. But Dante Lo Techayeh Melo Yechayeh. You're learning something that they don't have a similar word. It's Mechashefa Lo Techayeh, which in Ovea is Melo Yechayeh. So I'm Lo Rabbi Akiva, Ani Dante Yisrael Misrael. At least I was talking about Jews that stood at Har Sinai, and a Jew who is doing this sorcery. That the Torah included many death penalties for them. And you're taking a case of the Shiva Amamim and trying to apply it to Bnei Yisrael. The pasuk that the Torah doesn't have a large number of capital crimes that are associated with non-Jews. So, Ella, Mita Achat. There's only one type of death penalty that is given for capital crimes by a non-Jew. What is the capital one penalty? Is Saif. Ben Noach, the only punishment in a capital crime is Saif. Jews have four different possibilities of Chenek, Saif, Skila, Sreifa. So all of these are available. So therefore, I picked a Jew from Jew to learn from rather than Jew from a right Shiva Amamim. Doesn't make sense. But as I Omer's note, this is the Limud. Nemar Mechashefa Lo Techayeh. But Nemar, and juxtaposed to that in Parshat Mishpatim, is Kol Shechevim Be'ema Motumat. Samchu Inyan Lo. So what's the juxtaposition of bestiality to Mechashefa? Just like bestiality is punished by skila, av mechashef b'skila, so too sorcery will be punished by skila. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, v'chi mipnei shesamchu inyan lo notzi lezeh b'skila. Just because they're juxtaposed in the Torah, you're going to upgrade his death penalty skila. Skila is the highest, is the most stringent, highest form of death penalty you can get, the worst death penalty. Stam death penalty in the Torah is chenek. So you're going to take them from the lowest death penalty to the highest penalty just because they're smichu et apashio, because they're juxtaposition in the Torah? Ella, so now the Gemara is going to conclude it. All right, we'll do it in the end. Ella, ovi doni b'chlau mechashafim. Or makshafim. Ovi and doni are a subset of this sorcery or witchcraft. Hayu. V'lama yatsu. So why did the Torah specify by them? Lakish aleihem. Because we have the principle, which is, kol davar sheyah b'chlau v'yatsa min haklau. When you have something that goes out of the principle, it comes to teach about the whole principle. Just like by the Ovi Nidoni, where the Torah specifies against skila, av mechashef b'skila. So the Rabbi Yehuda, namen avi Ovi Nidoni, shnei ketuvim abayim kechad. So wait a minute, that's only true when you have one exception to the rule. Now that you have two exceptions to the rule, how could they be teaching something? We generally have a principle. If you have two exceptions, then they're no longer an exception. They become a rule. But they're a rule for themselves and for nothing else. So that is, why don't we say that over here by Ov v'idoni? Now, there are no two. Ov v'idoni, they're saying Ov should be one and Idoni be two. And why does the Torah specify Ov and Idoni? It could just said Ov or it could just said Idoni. So Amar Rabbi Zecharia, Ad Amra, that's what we say. Kasav Rabbi Yehuda, Shnei Ketuvim, Baim Kechad, Milamdim. that two psukim that come together, Rabbi Yehuda believes that you can still teach a rule from two exceptions. Two exceptions are not enough to say that it's not a rule. You can make a rule out of two exceptions. Rabbi Yehuda also does not lo darish smuchim. Rabbi Yehuda also is not doresh juxtapositions in the Torah. This is the source for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Whenever the Gemara says throughout Shas that Rabbi Yehuda is lo darish smuchin, that's from our Gemara right here. You see that Rabbi Yehuda criticized Ben Azai for being doresh the smichut of Michashefa to bishliyahuri. The fact that he criticized him shows you that throughout the Shas, it also says mechayik dayik, that Rabbi Yehuda lo darish smuchin ba'almo, that in general he doesn't doresh smuchim. All right, the Gemara now continues. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Lama nikra shmo kishafim. Where does the word kishafim come from? Where does kishuf come from? Shem makchishim bepomal yoshel malo. So Rabbi Yochanan says that kishafim is actually an acronym to teach you that it's michashim, they deny or they reject pomal yoshel malo, the heavenly entourage or bodies. But basically, they're rejecting a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They're trying to use alternate powers, or they're trying to go against the nature of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the pasuk says, "Ein od milvado." Right, there's no one besides the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right, Atar Reit Ladat Keshem Gluim Ein Od Milvado. I'm Rabbi Chanina. Afilu the Dvar Kshafim. There's no one besides the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Even when it comes to Kishuf, Hashem dominates and rules over the Kishufuf. Here we have an example. This Hayi Itata Davet Kamahajul Mishkal Afra Mitute Kari the Rabbi Chanina. She was trying to grab dirt from under the foot of Rabbi Chanina. Obviously, there was some sort of witchcraft sorcery that was done. When you got the dirt from under someone's foot, you could do something to them, harm them somehow. If you really want, go ahead. Take the dirt from under my foot. It will have no effect on me. Ein od milavado k'tiv. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dominates. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules. You can do whatever you want. It will not affect me. Ve'ini, is that really true? Why are they called mechashafim? Because they fight against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They make it look as if there's no Kodesh Baruch Hu. They do these alternative powers. They do something else. So Shani Rabbi Chanina, the Nafish Chute. Rabbi Chanina was an unusual individual. And Rabbi Chanina was of a genre of individuals or a class of individuals who had many zchuyot. He was a tzaddik. Therefore, he was not afraid of the kishuf. But someone who was a hejot should be careful about kishuf. Now, if this is Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, which is also, and if this is Rabbi Chanina or Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Rabbi Chanina Dosa, the story, a similar story told in Gemara and Tanit. Gemara and Tanit tells the story of a scorpion that was coming along and stinging into people and killing them. So the people were got upset. They didn't know what to do about this scorpion. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa went over to the hole, stuck his foot over the hole. The scorpion comes out and stings Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and dies. Not Rabbi Chanina Dosa, but the scorpion. So they had an expression there, right? Ole la'adam. Ole la'adam, that is, Nashucha yidei, Ole la'adam shepaga bo ha'akrav, right? The scorpion that attacks the individual, woes to the man. Ole la'akrav shepaga bo Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. And woes to the, right, scorpion that was touched by Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Chanina Dosa says to the people there, it's not ha'akrav enu me'mitu mechayet. It's not the scorpion that brings life or death. Ela, Hachet goreim, right? It's the sin. It's the quality of the individual. It's the zchuyot of the individual. It's a similar type of idea over here that Rabbi Chanina has zchuyot that protect him from the kishuf. Kishuf has no impact on the individual as the zchuyot who's not chute, does not believe in them. Amar Rabbi Aibo Bar Nagre, Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Ava, Bilatehem by Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim it says that the assistants to Paro, the sorcerers of Paro, they perform two different types of sorcery. There's latehem and lahatehem. Once with a hey, once without a hey. So he says, blatehem elu maaseh shedim. When they use it balat, that is the maaseh of shedim. They use shedim, these demons. Balahatehem elu maaseh kshafim. If they use latehem, that is sorcery. V'cheni umer. And it says, v'talat hacherev amitapechet. When Hashem closes Adam out of Gan Eden, he puts a spinning sword in front. So that looks like that sword is spinning by witchcraft or sorcery, not al yidei shedim. There's nobody standing there and it spins by itself. So therefore, that's how the lahat, right, which uses the hay, is lahat dehem, which is also, again, the similar type of thing, which is the witchcraft and not the shedim. Amar Abaye, the kapid amono shed, the one who is makpid on the utensil or the vessel that he uses to do his sorcery, then he's using shedim. The low kapid amano, the one who doesn't care what he uses, whatever, you know, his magic wand, there's anything that he needs, then he's using kshafim. Amar Abaye, halachot kishafim or hilchot kishafim kehilchot Shabbat. The halachot of kishafim are very similar to the hilchot Shabbat. Now, there's not, they have nothing to do with Shabbos. The idea is that Shabbos has three categories. There's yesh man b'skila. There's certain things that you can do on Shabbos and you're chayv skila, certain malachot. Yesh man patura v'alasur. There's certain things you do that you are restricted from doing, but if you do them, you're patur. Yesh man mutar l'chadchila, and certain actions that you take that are mutar l'chadchila. The Gemara here does not describe what this by Shabbos, but now describes it by kshafim. Hose maaseh b'skila. One who does sorcery and does a physical action with the sorcery, he is stoned, right? Put to death. Skila. Ocheze te'inayim. Someone who does an illusion is patur of alasur. You're not allowed to do that, but it is patur. That is patur. Mutar l'chadchila. What is mutar l'chadchila? When can you do this type of quote-unquote sorcery? That is like what we had before the story of Rabbi Hanina of Rabbi Oshia, who used to work. Kol malei shabto. Every Arab Shabbos, every aske b'hilchos yitzira. They used to study the Sefer Yetzirah. Umivri lehu, he'll go till Tov Achlele. They used to create a fine, young egel, a calf, and they used to eat it. Right, either it's Shlishi the Bet, then it's the third one, which is the best meat, or it's a third of its lifetime, lifespan, so it's the best meat, and they used to eat it. Rashi over here says that it's not Kishuf over here, because basically they were working with putting together the name of a special name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then when they did that, all of a sudden, out comes the egel. Right, so it's an interesting idea here that they did this, but that's mutar l'chadchila because here they don't intend to for kishuf. Now, by Shabbos you have the same thing. By Shabbos you have melachot, which are real of the 39 melachot you get skila for if you violate them. There is shvot, which are patur l'asur, meaning there are certain items that either you're going to be there, either that they are dinei d'rabbanan, they're also mi d'rabbanan, therefore they're asur, but they are patur. Or these are items that there's the mitzvah aseh in the Torah. There's a mitzvah aseh in the Torah of Shavuot to rest on the Shabbos. So maybe you're in violation of the mitzvah aseh, but not of the mitzvah lot aseh of the malacha. Therefore, you are patur of alasur. And mutar legamrei is, for instance, if a nachash is attacking you and you trap it on Shabbos. That's mutar lechatchila to protect yourself. Or mapis mursa, someone squeezes out some sort of blister, something that needs to be drained on Shabbos. Again, there you create a petach, but it's davashe. It's malachas in etzricha, and it's mutar lechatchila because of the tzar. And there's certain things that are mutar lechatchila on Shabbos. So those three categories exist in Shabbos. They also exist in kshafim. So Amar Avashi, chazina leila avua de Karno. I saw the avu of Karno, who was a sorcerer. The nofitz, he used to sneeze. B'shadei kriche de shirai minichirei, and he used to pull out silk garments from his nose. V'yomru achartumim el paro etzba Elohim hi. Right, they said at that time, it's the finger of God. What does that mean? Rashi quotes this in Chumash. The reason that they were trumped over here was because they used the Shedim, and the Shedim don't have Shlita over something that's less than a Kesorah. Where did they say this? Which of the plagues did they say this about? Kinim. So Kinim, which are less than a Kesorah, less than a barley seed, therefore they didn't have Shlita over them. Rabbi Amar, Elukim, afilu ki gam lo matzi bori. They can't create a single thing. Shadim don't create. What do they do? Hi, michnefle. They gather them together. When he calls in, they need the animals to come. They don't create something, you know, ex nihilo. What they do is they bring them from somewhere else. So vai lo michnefle. So when it comes to big animals, they can bring them together. When it comes to kinim, they can't gather them from other places. Which, you know, what type of lice is going to listen to the shade to come along? How does it gather lice together? You can't do that. When it comes to bigger animals, you can bring them in. It can gather them together. But lice, they don't have that function. Amar le Rav, the Rav Chia, Rav Sesachia, the Didi, Chazili Wahataya, I saw this merchant, the Shakli the Safsira, he took his sword, the guy did the gamma, and he chopped up his gamal, the Tarfle, the Tavlo, right, and then he smacked it with a board of some sort, the Kam, and it got up again, it was alive and up again. So Amar le, the Batarachi Dam, Uparta, Mihabe, when you looked on the ground, was there any blood left over, and was there any fats that were left over on the ground? If he chopped up the gamal, there should be some evidence of it. It says, Ella, how achizat einayim? Obviously, there was not, and it was all an illusion. He never cut up the gamal, and that's why he was still alive when he banged on the board. So he did an illusion, and then afterwards he was left alive. So, hava ziri, einayim hava. Ziri iklalak zerandria shel Mitzrayim. He went down to Alexandria shel Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, as we know in the Torah, and also over here, was known as the capital of sorcery and witchcraft. Zaman chamra, he bought a donkey. When he got to a spring to feed it water, Pashar. Pashar means to melt. But basically, the witchcraft was undone. Kusnita, that he turned into a board. Kusnita is a type of wood. It turned into a plank, a gesh, like a plank of wood. So he says, Amulei. So he went back to return it. He loves Ziriat. If you weren't Ziri, meaning that you're a trustworthy individual, Lo Madrina Lecha, we would not give you a new Gamal. Miika de Zavin Midei Hocha. Whoever buys something in Alexandria Shul Mitzrayim, Lo Badik Le'amaya, doesn't check out water. For some reason, live springs or live water undoes sorcery. So anybody who bought anything in Alexandria Mitzrayim always used to bring live water to the item to make sure that it really stayed. It wasn't just an illusion or sorcery. Yanai. The Yanai here is not a spectacular individual. Iklo lahawush biza. He went to this motel. Amelo Ashkin Maya says, let me have a drink. Krivush tita. They brought him a drink. So he saw that the woman who was bringing the drink was mumbling something over the water. So he knew there was something wrong. Shada purta minei. He spilled a little bit out on the floor. Have an akrave. He saw that they were really scorpions. All right, but he didn't say anything. He says, Amelo, anashatai miditchu. I drank your special. Drink my special now. You know, we'll trade drinks. So Ashkeel, he gave her a drink. Havai Chamra, she turned into a donkey. Rachva, he rode her and selected the shuka. He took her, he rode her off to the shuk. Ata Chaverta, her friend, the other sorceress, got wind of this. Pashrala, she undid the sorcery. Chazir the Rachi, Vikaya Itita. He's riding through the shuk, and all of a sudden they see that he's riding on top of a woman in the shuk. So they maybe, you know, they undid. But he had made fun of her, made her into a donkey and rode her. Now they got him back because he's sitting on top of a woman in the shuk. So now it says in Mitzrayim, Talat Tzvardeya Techaset Eretz Mitzrayim, that the Tzvardeya went up and covered Eretz Mitzrayim. Tzvardeya is written in the singular over here. So, my Rav Elazar Tzvardeya Achat Haita. There's one Tzvardeya, Yishritzo Mleya Kol Eretz Mitzrayim. Went ahead and it multiplied and filled the whole Mitzrayim with many Tzvardeim. So yeah, that's the one opinion. Kitznaya, it's a Machlokes Tanaim. Rabbi Akiva Omer Tzvardeya Achat Haita Mleya Kol Eretz Mitzrayim. It was one Tzvardeya, and it filled up all of Eretz Mitzrayim. Amar Lo Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah Akiva Malacha Eitzel Agada. Rabbi Akiva, you should not be in the business of explaining Agadot. Go back to Halacha, like Negaim and Ohalot. Right, because that's where your expertise is. Tzvardeya achat haita. So there was one tzvardeya, and shrika lehem, vehem ba'u. It whistled to the other ones, it croaked, you know, it croaked for the other ones, and they all came. I mean, it pulled in the other tzvardeim. It was one tzvardeya, but he called the other guys to show up and to party with him. So we have a machlokas, whether it was a tzvardeya achat, or... And it was either his shritza, it was one tzvardeya that came along and whistled and brought everybody else in, or it was one tzvardeya literally, which seems to be Rabbi Akiva's, that it was one tzvardeya that it filled up all of Eretz Mitzrayim. All comes from the fact that it was used in the singular. You should know that it happens to be a machlokas harishonim. We didn't have time to deal with this. About, yeah, over here, the hitting is not so clear. Some of the midrashim say hit, but it's not, that midrash that we think of that hitting, it's not really it's not really found, that midrash. It's very hard to find the midrash that says that. You can, if you piece together different midrashim, it maybe sounds like that, but you can't. That midrash itself is not there. One machlokas is rishonim is whether witchcraft is real. Is the sorcery real, or is there such a concept called ov v'idoni? Does it exist really or not? The Ibn Ezra in Parshat Chaimot on ov v'idoni says v'yesh rikei moach. There are those empty-headed people who believe that there's mamashut to these items. But, and that's why the Torah had to answer it. The Torah answered it because it was a problem that it was real. And the Ibn Ezra says it's just the opposite. The fact is that it's nothingness. Because it's nothing, that's why the Torah answered it. There's nothing to it. Now again, you have the same concept by the Sefer Rufuot that Chizkiyahu was Gonez. Chizkiyahu was Gonez, Sefer Rufuot. The Gemara talks about this in the Gemara in Pesachim. And there again is a machlokas. Rashi claims that the Sefer Rufuot was efficacious in curing people. And people were being led astray by the fact that they didn't get sick and they could cure themselves through the book and they didn't do tshuva. They didn't go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore they would goniz it. The Rambam, on the other hand, takes significant issue with that and says, how could it be? The Sefer Rufuot was not. It wasn't that they were real Rufuot. They were, it didn't work. And that's why he put it into Gnizah, because it was a bunch of charlatans that had put together the book, and therefore they put it away. So you see this Rishonim dealing with this issue of whether there is this conceptually, is there an idea that, you know, you see that the rationalists and the Sfaradim, like Rambam and the Ibn Ezra, who say this doesn't exist, and that's why the Torah answered it. goes to Rashi and the others, the Ashkenazim, who were more likely to believe that the Shedim existed and there were such powers, and those powers have to be offset by the fact that Biltil Hashem Levado. Again, the Gemara in different places leans different ways. Some places it sounds like they actually were efficacious, others it sounds like it's an illusion. Right? An illusion, then it's not real, it's just all an illusion. So the question of whether it's an illusion or there's anything actual to it, right, is subject to that Machlofus HaRishonim. We'll stop over here.